Let us turn to the book of the Psalms and read the first part of Psalm 119, the first 16 verses. First 8 verses are under the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, and then the second stanza, the verses 9 through 16, all by way of the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Beth. Beth is also the Hebrew word for house. And one of the commentators made a comment that what the focus in this second part from which our text is taken this morning is that the word of the Lord may be in our heart, that be the house of the Lord, our very heart. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly." Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Blessed are they who hear and keep his word. For our text, we will focus particularly on the verses 9 and 11. Verses 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This morning the Lord will speak to us on these words, and we will see the power of the word of the Lord for the young. That is the theme this morning, the power of the word of the Lord for the young, as a power over sin, as a power in our heart. Beloved congregation, our text speaks about the power of the word of God for the young. It may be that you think, I don't see that at all in our text. I don't see the word power. I don't get the point. Hopefully you'll see it soon. In the opening verses of Psalm 119, there is an emphasis on the fact that happiness and holiness go together. That's how the psalm starts. Blessed, truly happy, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Happiness goes hand in hand with holiness. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ explicitly teaches in the Beatitudes. When he says in Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what Psalm 119 teaches. Holiness and purity are the way of blessedness. Psalm 119 does not teach that holiness is something very easy, something very simple. Teaches us the opposite. Because sin is a mighty power. verse 9 reads, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" That is, how shall a young man who is a child of Adam, a fallen creature, how shall he cleanse his way? There are some contemporary Bible translations who translate this verse a little differently. They translate it like this: how can a young man keep his way pure? Our Psalter also has a little bit of it when it says, how shall the young direct their way? But our text uses the verb cleanse. Wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? It doesn't need to be kept pure simply. It needs to be cleansed in first instance. There was only one man for whom the word was, how shall this young man, that was Adam, and his young wife, keep their way pure? They were not fallen creatures. But ever since they fell and we fell in them, how shall a young man cleanse his way? His way has already been defiled. It is already impure. The Bible teaches that we practice sin because we have a sinful nature. Sin is rooted in an unholy heart. We are conceived and born in sin. Selfishness, pride, impurity, and every other sin is traceable to our hearts. As we read in Proverbs, Jesus quotes it when he says in the Gospel, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Our Lord says in Matthew chapter 12, you can't make the fruit of the tree good till you have made the tree good. And our way, our sinful way, is a result of our heart being sinful, our nature being sinful. The Bible says in the Old Testament, and Paul quotes it in Romans 3, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3 verses 10, 11 and 12. That is to say, sin is so profound and pervasive that our very being has become contaminated by defilement, the defilement of sin and the power of sin. It's not merely sin in society, in the world that we live in, but there is sin in our very nature, in our hearts, in our mind, in our will. And so the Bible says we need a power over sin. That's our supreme need. How shall a young man cleanse his way? It's the most fundamental question anyone could ask. How can a sinful man, an unholy man, be made holy? By what means can his life be cleansed? The verb cleanse has to do with making something clean. You need a detergent or you need water. And in this case, you need something else. How can a young man get a clean, a pure heart? That's extremely important. You need to have a pure heart. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord in heaven and be with him. Only those will who have a pure heart. By what means can a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. And that question runs through the Bible. There are persons who are not concerned with that question. They are the persons who have never seen that their heart is really dark and sinful and evil. And when the Word of God comes to them, they say, "That's an old book, it's not relevant to me." They don't see their need for the Word of God. And yet, if you give a man the Bible, this copy or another copy, and he says, "What is it?" He says, "Well, you look at it." And the first thing that he sees written on the cover is Holy Bible. And then a map. Next page, the Holy Bible containing the Old and New Testament. There you have a summary of the whole Word of God. The Holy Bible. It's the Holy Word of God. And it shows us how we can become holy. It shows us who the Holy God is. And that God made man good after his own image, without defilement. And man willfully fell away from God, defiled himself, became unholy, fell away into sin, into spiritual death. And then God shows that for those people, he had his own Son, Jesus, come, conceived by the Holy Spirit, but born of the Virgin Mary, to give his life a ransom, to give his blood as the means to cleanse from sin. There you have the Bible in a nutshell. And then when Christ, upon the accomplishment of that work, ascended into heaven, he sent forth his Holy Spirit. And the Bible is the inspired Word of God to come with that Word to our minds, our consciences, address us, and then write it upon the walls of our heart. And that's what he does. You read the Scriptures. Anyone who reads the Scriptures, whether he understands it or not, he will understand these basic things to an extent. And as they read, they are convicted of sin. And if they read it and they are not convicted of sin, then they'll keep on saying, "I don't need this book, it's irrelevant to me." But the person who reads it and comes to Isaiah chapter 6, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Or he had already come to David in Psalm 51. Where David said in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That's the person to whom the Bible is the most precious thing there is in all the world. It's the holy revelation of God, which shows us the way to be cleansed. And how our heart can be cleansed. And our way cleansed. So our text does speak about the power of the Word of God that we need. The power over sin. Power to be holy. Think of Paul writing to the church in Corinth, his second epistle, chapter 7. And I quote verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved," that is the promises of the gospel, of the Scriptures, "having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Paul says we have this Holy Bible, we have these precious promises, we have to do something with them. They have been given to us that we might be made holy. Or John the Apostle, writing his first epistle, second chapter, there in verse 14, he says, "I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The persons to whom John is writing have become strong not because of anything in them themselves, but because the power of the word of God abiding in them, by which they overcame the wicked one. That's the point of our text. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And notice that our text is directed to a young man. The Hebrew has a masculine noun, the young man. And the word can be translated the young lad, the young boy, although commentators do indicate that it doesn't mean that they are preteen or necessarily only in their teens. Somebody who is 30 could also be young, a young man. Are the young women then not included? Well, you know that particularly in the Old Testament, the women commonly were included as members of the covenant. They did not have the sign of circumcision. God kept that from the girls, but he gave it to the men. But the women were included in the men. So here it would also be a word to the young woman. Would it apply also to the old men? Would it apply to the old women? Yes. In a sense, no age is excluded. And yet in the Bible, frequently the young are addressed. The young men are addressed. If you check your concordance, you'll find a whole list of young men. Reading just Samuel the other day, so many passages in which young men, that phrase, is referred to. And in the New Testament preaching of the apostles and of the evangelists Timothy and Titus, special emphasis on the young. Paul writes to Titus and he says to Titus, when you preach, Titus, exhort young men to be sober minded. The Old Testament commentator Plumer on the Psalms, he makes the comment at this verse that it's especially young men who are most liable to temptation. He says even more than women. It is true that Scripture addresses the young people and the young men, because especially the age, the period of life, of being young, is the most critical period of life. The attitudes that young men form and young women. At a young age, everything about their young years, what they learn then, are apt to become their pattern, to impact their character, to form their attitudes, their habits. God is able, thanks be to God, to convert an old man and an old woman. But normally, the young years are the age when God converts a sinner. And it is true that what, generally speaking, what young people are, that's how they will remain through life. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's why the devil tempts particularly the young men and the young women, this age group. The devil knows that the young men today will be the leaders tomorrow. And he knows that society will be what the result is of the youth today. And therefore the Bible, the devil comes with temptations particularly to young men. And especially this temptation, to take from them the Word of God. This temptation to take, don't you take the Word of God seriously. Don't take your soul seriously. That's the temptation of the devil, particularly to young men and young women. The devil does not mind if you come to church Sunday night. He doesn't like it if you come back at night. Then he says, shame, you're young, you should enjoy life. Why doesn't he want you to come back at night? You know, the devil does not want young men to be committed to the Word of God, to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll do his utmost to stop young men from going to a catechism class. You're 17 now, you don't need to go anymore. And that's become so ingrained in this congregation that they won't come anymore, with an exception. It's a temptation of the devil, because the devil says, you are young. When you are young, you have a right to some entertainment, pleasure, amusement. You are young. Death and eternity are a long way off for you. You are young. It's not time to be serious now. It's the time to give yourself to those things that when you're old you can't do anymore. So entertain yourself. Feel free to waste your time. It's great. And forget your soul. And if there is anyone here this morning who thinks that this is an overstatement, that person is blind and asleep to what's happening in our day and generation. The culture we live in, the society, the education, these are all spheres in which the devil is preeminently concerned to so work that the young age gets diverted from the Word of God, from the service of God, and become the leaders of sin and unbelief. Paul writes to Timothy, a God-fearing man, and he writes to Timothy, Timothy 2 verse 22, Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And there are here in Grand Rapids so many voices that say to our young men and our young women, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Have a drink. Go to the bar. It's a good place for you. Don't take the worst one. We'll get you there a little later. Have a drink. It'll make you happy. It'll help you forget your cares. But those people who get you along to go there have no concern for your soul. Paul writes to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Or think of the temptation of drugs. Who in our society, being young, does not get to be tempted with drugs or gambling? Gambling. Casinos. And it's tempting because you have run quite a debt with your MasterCard or Visa card. Come along. You can make 1 million in one night. Get you debt free. These are crafty temptations, but they are lies. Lies. They don't make you rich. They make you poor. Because that's the way of the world. And therefore, young people, take heed to the word of God, which says that to drink alcohol and drugs and casinos take you down to hell. Temptations come specifically to that age group. And we only have to think of how already for decades, generally speaking in the churches, the young men after some time all leave. And in many churches the concern has been that there's a group of women, some old men, not young men. Look around in any church and see how many young men there are who are thoroughly committed to the Word of God and determined to live by the Word of God and the grace of God, to serve Him and to put the Word of God first in their lives. At any rate, our text addresses specifically young men. Let's move to our second thought. The power of the Word of God for the young as a power in the heart. Because it's not merely that you can cleanse your way by having a Bible in your room somewhere or being acquainted with the Bible. More than that is needed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It means that you have to live under the eye of the scriptures so that your walk, your talk, your thoughts are under the guidance of the word of God. You will have seen pictures, maybe on videos, these old miners' lamps that they wear right on their helmets. And when they go down into these mine shafts, they need to have that light with them to see in the darkness. Without a lamp, it's hopeless to be a miner down there. It's like that with the Christian. That's why the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, or my foot, it actually says, and a light upon my path. My walk in this world, my way, has to be controlled and directed by the word of God, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Not simply having the Bible, not simply having a Bible in your home, but you need to have that Bible watch you as you walk in this world. Many people who say, we read it once a day as a family, ought to be good enough. And for the rest, I am a sincere man, and I believe all will be well in the end. But that's a terrible delusion. And yet that's what people say. I'm sincere. I believe all will be well in the end. But Christ says all will not be well in the end, neither today, unless the Word of God is our guide through every step of our earthly pilgrimage by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then take with it verse 11, where the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it's not just having the Bible with you, that's going to help you. But having the Word of God within you, in your heart, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, that is within you, richly in all wisdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. And to hide in my heart means to guard it there in my heart. It's like when you go away on vacation, that time is over now for a while, but when you go away on vacation, if you have things laying around by your house, you say, no, I better put that away. And this is very precious to me. I'm going to put that and hide it in a special place, just in case. Because it's a valuable thing to you. And valuable things you store away in a safe place. That's the thought here. Thy word have I hid, says the psalmist, in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I've stored it away somewhere safe. It's a treasure. It's not something that I scatter around for just anybody to see and pick up. I store it in my heart. And that hiding has many aspects. It's not just having your Bible, it's reading the Bible. And then not only reading it, but then taking note of the Bible. And getting to know the history of the Bible. Getting to know the contents of the Bible. Of the various Bible books. Genesis, this book. Leviticus, this book. That's what that book is about. Getting to know the doctrines of the Scriptures. And getting to know the practical injunctions for living. It involves memory. Memory. In our day, memorization is on the way out, unfortunately. But the Word of God needs to be memorized. And Sunday school and catechism and Bible class are means to have us memorize the Bible books, memorize the content of the Bible, memorize the Bible verses, memorize the Psalter songs. So crucial. But if you memorize it, are you then done? Will that regenerate your heart? No, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's something He promises in that way. And you must also learn to pray for that. Lord, I'm memorizing this part of Thy Word, this lesson, this song. Give it a place in my heart. My heart. That's the focus. If you have it only in your head, if you only have it in your memory, not enough. Needs to be in your hearts. The devil has the Word of God in his memory. When he met the Lord in the wilderness to tempt him, he knew how to quote the Scriptures or part of the Scriptures. He knows the Word of God. He knows the Word of God better than you and I know the Word of God. But there is the one thing that the devil does not have. He does not have the Word of God in his heart. Because the heart is the place of affection, of love, of devotion. The heart is the place of joy and delight in the Word of God. And that's what needs to take place. Thy Word have I hid. It's something in which we must become involved. A prayerful activity. Looking to the Lord. The promises of the Word of God. That I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. And then you love the Word of God. You talk about the Word of God. You think about the Word of God. You praise the Word of God. That's what the psalmist does, Psalm 160. Oh, how love I thy law. The law of thy mouth, he says, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's telling something about the Word of God in his heart. And you know that many people don't have the Word of God in their hearts. You know that many old men don't have the Word of God in their hearts. They do think. They still think. What do they think of? Their money. And the jobs they used to do. And their hearts are so full still of material things. And they're about to die. And the only thing they can talk about intelligently is material things. Out of the abundance of the heart, says the Lord, the mouth speaketh. Where the Word of God is in your heart is going to affect your life. In Revelation 6, you read in a vision that John sees martyrs in heaven. People who lay down their lives out of love for the Word of God. And the devil didn't like it, and there was persecution. But the devil, who can bring about persecution under the hand of God, he can separate man's soul from his body through death under God, if God permits it. But there's one thing the devil cannot do. The devil cannot separate the heart of a Christian from the Word of God. Men and women who have laid down their lives for the Word of God have been men and women who, by the grace of God, have said, I will not be separated from the Word of God. You may do what you want with me, but my heart is bound to the Word of God. That's what the text is saying. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then holiness of life comes with it. I was thinking last night late of the words of the Lord Jesus in John 15, where he uses the word, ye are clean. Cleansing, you are clean, he says, through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Lord Jesus speaks those words. Jesus, the young man who never had any sinful thoughts. And when the devil tempted him, responded with the Word of God and willingly gave his life a ransom for many. And on the cross, he quoted the one Bible verse after the other. That's how he died, quoting the Word of God, because it was in his heart. He did what you and I will not have perfectly, not here, but it's in him. And we may become partakers of it through him. And he says, ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Through the word. Spurgeon says with regard to that verse, the word of God is a two-edged sword. It does the cutting. It cleanses. It prunes. That's what John 15 is about. And Christ does that, Spurgeon says, by the word applied by the Holy Spirit. That's how he effectually cleanses the way of a Christian, the heart of a Christian. Uses affliction, and in the affliction he comes with his word. And that affliction sharpens the sword of the word, Spurgeon says. So that affliction is the dresser that removes our soft garments and lays bare the diseased flesh. So that the surgeon's knife gets at it through that word that I have spoken. And then it shows up in your life. Young people, then tonight you go to bed after young people's meeting. I hope you all will come. You come home, how was it? And you sit down and you talk yet for a while, hopefully about the Word of God. And then it's time for bed. And then before you lay down in your bed, you take your Bible, the Word of God. Will you? I'm going to start reading the Word of God. Then I go on my knees. And I confess my sin and I pray the Lord to have that Word in my heart. And then I go and lie down in my bed. This is how I do it too. This is how you must do it. And then when you lie on your bed, there are always a few moments you are not asleep yet. Then that Word is in your thoughts. And make sure that's in your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts go off to some sinful things. Young men do that too. They go to bed and they let their mind fantasize. It's very pleasant. No, don't do that. The Bible says they are filthy dreamers who do that. They have filthy ideas. When that happens, you need to call yourself to repentance and say to the devil, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things." And then you go off to sleep. And then tomorrow you wake up. And then after you have woken up, on your knees, open the Word of God. Read it. Pray. And then you carry that Word with you tomorrow. The Word of God in all of life. When you choose friends or walk with friends, and you meet someone of the opposite sex, a beautiful young lady, make sure that that young lady fears the Lord, knows the Word of God. You may know the story that a young lady came to Spurgeon and said, "Pastor, I'd like to get married to this young man." And Spurgeon said, "Well, is he a Christian?" "No, he's not a Christian." "Well, why then do you want to get married to him?" "I want to make him a Christian," she said. "Okay," he says, "that's good. Come with me." And he took her to, I think it was his study, and he said, "See this table? You climb on this table." And she stepped on a chair, climbed on the table. She stood there, and he stood on the floor. And he said, "Now, can you pull me up?" But Spurgeon was a little heavily set man, and she could not pull him up to the pulpit, to the table, I should say. And then Spurgeon says, "Now, can I pull?" And he pulled her, and he could pull her down from the table. And he said, "That's how it is. If you as a Christian want to pull that young man up to the fear of the Lord, it will not work. Take heed to the Word of God. The way you talk, gossip, causes so much harm. Speak the truth of God and of His Word. And when it's the Lord's Day, all the days should be in a sense that way, but when it's the Lord's Day is special, up a little earlier to spend time with the Word. Twice to the services. And what do you do in between? No homework for school. That's for the other days. Concentrate on the Word of God. And if you say, "Yeah, but this homework needs to be done," the Lord sees what you are doing. And it comes back in the day of judgment. The Word of God. It'll help you keep from the programs on TV that are pulling you off from the table down to destruction. Or the web. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And one final thing, young men, young women. You have written on your forehead the Word of God. The promise of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. You are a covenant child. And there are special promises for covenant children. You have something that the children of the world don't have. But it's not saving to just have those promises. Because there are covenant children like you brought up in this church and who ended up in the gutter of life and who in the day of their death ended up in hell. As a covenant child, you especially have the duty, the solemn duty, to take heed to the Word of God. To hide the Word of God in your heart. And to pray, O Lord, make me a child of Thine. Give me a new heart. A heart that trusts Thy Word, that loves Thy Word, that loves Thee. Pray that prayer. And pray it again tonight. And pray it again tomorrow. And it will keep you in the way of God's Word, of truth and righteousness. And then one day you will get old. And then you look back. And then you will be able to say, I thank Thee, Lord, for having had mercy on me when I was a young man. But now I am old. Prepare me, O Lord, for death, for judgment, for eternity. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Take the Word of God and trust Him, and He will certainly bless you now and in the day of death. Amen.